The Colts come with pressure, and again it's picked off. It's Darius Leonard. Leonard with his second INT, and he's streaking down the near sideline. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's going to go. A pick six for the Maniac. Touchdown, INTY.
Cannot wait for NFL football. I can't anymore, guys. We are 33 days away here on Tuesday. 33 days away from the Colts opener in Jacksonville, week one. I cannot wait. Right now, there's a lot of uncertainty in college football. The Big Ten just they announced their, I don't know who to believe anymore. The media need to get their stuff together. People are saying that they opted out of the, they canceled the football season. Other people are coming out and saying that they haven't even voted yet. I don't know who to believe. I'm going to go with the latter and say that they haven't voted yet. I know the Mountain West has canceled. I know the MAC has canceled. And I just, you know, giving my thoughts on this a little bit, if I know this is different from the NFL because the roster is bigger, you know, your in-season roster, as to where the NFL roster, 53 players, but 46 suit up, and there's 85 of them on the sidelines. I know this is a little bit different, but, I mean, this is, these are kids' livelihoods, man. Like, the seniors or juniors that decided to not go to the draft and come back for school, I mean, that they came back for a reason. Obviously, they want to play, so you should allow them to play. Obviously, there's safety precautions that you must implement, but something just tells me that these presidents, that they're just lazy, that they don't want to get into this. They don't want to pursue those avenues to allow a season to go on. I mean, the worst thing comes to worst. Don't have fans. That's the one thing that you can edit. But, I mean, testing, you can get testing. I know these are students, so guess what? College athletes, women basketball, volleyball, you know, these fall sports, all these sports. Make it online. Online schooling. You act like we live in the age of technology. You can make it happen. Guys are in their dorm rooms. Watch your studies. Watch your seminars. Watch your professors. Do your homework. Be at practice. Like, I don't see now, obviously, I'm not that educated within the realms of the college world and how it operates. So this is me spitballing here, guys. This is me, you know, if the NFL is doing all this, if the NBA is doing all this, if the UFC is doing all this, all this stuff, I just think that the college football presidents, executives, all that, I think they could at least put a little bit more effort into trying to make a season happen. Because first and foremost, this shouldn't be their decision. Like, I know, oh my gosh, they're just kids. They're just in college. These are almost grown men, or if not grown men. These guys are grown. I think they can make their own decision for themselves. Just have the whole team just say, hey, do you want to opt in or do you want to opt out? Do you want to play? Okay, be ready to suit up. We'll get on with practice. If you don't, your scholarship will still be honored. You can still be around the facilities in practice and meetings, all that stuff. Work out with the team, all that stuff. But you just don't play. You don't suit up. You can't be there on the sidelines because of COVID reasons. It just give the players that choice. It's like they're your employees. Technically, they're not your employees because you're not paying them. So they should get the opportunity to play. They should have that right because this is guys' lives. You know, this is their draft stock we're talking about. This is their opportunity to get drafted as high as they can, get the most money as they can in their rookie deal. Draft stocks, guys, they change fluidly. They change rapidly. Unless you are a surefire top five pick, I don't see how the presidents are just making this decision without the players' or coaches' input. I just don't get it. Like, for instance, when it comes to the draft stock, remember, Grant Delpit, he was almost a lock to be a top 10 guy. He ended up getting drafted in the second round. Right? Hell, Lucas Niang, a tackle from TCU, thought of as a first round pick. Guess what? Got drafted in the third round. Now, these guys that have already come out and said that they're opting out, these are guys that are surefire first round picks. Now, I don't know, you know, is it gonna hurt a little bit to their draft stock? I think it might, because when you're scouting football, man, you're not interested in watching film from 2 years ago, which will be the case on Micah Parsons, Caleb Farley, Rashad Bateman. That will be the case. You know, you went up against these guys in, you know, 2019. We're here in 2021. Your last game was played in 2019. I mean, I don't think it hurts them that bad. I definitely do not think it changes from a number 10 pick to a number 50 pick. No. But, I mean, I can't hate on their decision. I think it's a smart decision, especially if you are a surefire guy to get drafted. Then all you need is that opportunity to get in the NFL. So, guys, I'm sorry I had to open up with that little thing about college football. The NBA bubble, guys, a lot going on there. A lot going on there. You know, you got Portland and LA Clippers, you know, beefing with each other. That would have been a fun first-round series. I'm not even still sure if Portland will make the playoffs. They got a big game against my Mavericks today. The Mavericks, they have given me so many headaches, so many fun, exciting times. But, oh, my gosh, man, they have given me some headaches recently. But those two are actually playing today, if I didn't mention that. So, you know, the Pacers, your Pacer guys, I know TJ Warren has exploded, but we got to still stick to context. You know, this is a different environment without the fans, without all this media there. This is a big, big difference, okay? So when we get back to, you know, fans, hopefully we will next season. You know, let's see how it goes. But I can't really sit here and say, oh my gosh, well, you know, TJ Warren is going to be the MVP next year. No, I mean, I knew who TJ Warren was. He was a pretty good, solid player in Phoenix. But, I mean, people are just, you know, hyping him up to be a top 10 player. I mean, if you want to say he's a top 10 player in the bubble, I give you that. Oh, hell, top 10, I'll give you possibly top 3. Oh, man. Sorry, guys. Had to get a real quick drink of some sparkling water here. But, guys, let's go ahead. And also, best of luck to you, Pacer guys. I know a lot of you guys are watch this or listen to this podcast are Pacer fans, Colts fans. So, best of luck to you guys this season. Hopefully, y'all don't get matched up with the Miami Heat, because for some reason, I just don't get it. Y'all always seem to see the Miami Heat in the playoffs. I don't know what it is. That's like your biggest rival. I don't know. But anyways, guys, getting on to the point of this whole podcast, Colts football. And before I get into that, I just want to mention, guys, if you are listening on Twitter, please retweet, like my comment, or like my tweet of this show. I would really appreciate it. If you're listening on YouTube, I would greatly appreciate it if you subscribe, if you leave a like, if you leave a comment, give me your thoughts on probably what I just discussed or what I'm about to get into here in just a few seconds. So, guys, I really appreciate you guys listening. So I just want to, you know, hopefully get you guys to subscribe, all that stuff. Now, getting into some Colts football, jumping into it, some opt-outs that happened last week. So, obviously, the biggest one will be Marvell Tell. Roland Milligan, I didn't think much of him. You know, he did opt out as well. I think that's a smart decision for him because you don't know if he would have made the roster or not. So, you know, in an uncertain year, you still have the ability to opt out and still have a contract for next season. That's very rare, especially when you're a bubble guy. You have a for sure contract spot on a team heading into training camp next year. That's a pretty good place to be. So, Marvell Tell, getting into him, obviously a big disappointment, but obviously got to respect guys' decisions at the end of the day. They got families to worry about, and that's more important than catching a piece of leather, defending a piece of leather. You know, that's more important. He will be, I believe his depth, oh man, I was really excited to see what he could do this year. I was really excited. He's gone. What he will be, you know, what the Colts will be missing from him is a lot of length. A lot of length is what they will miss from Marvell Tell because, let me tell you, man, this guy has some long arms. We all know that. But the flashes I saw from him his rookie year were really, really encouraging. I mean, everybody, I know everybody wants to talk about the Courtland Sutton game. You know, he was just mossing, just completely destroying Rakia Sin. And then Marvell Tell comes in and locks him down. Then he has a good game against the Steelers. This year, I was really looking forward to seeing him and his jump he could make in year two. He was a solid depth piece, even in his rookie year. And just thinking about what the Colts might be losing, that's oh man, that really sucks. That really does. You always need depth, especially in the secondary. That's what, you know, this team just loves, the depth. And getting into, you know, some of these new, you know, the Colts just recently signed Davon Wilson, I believe his name is. Tavon Wilson, I believe. He's been with the Lions. He's been with the Patriots. Pretty okay, you know, average safety. He's going to be brought in to add some depth. Obviously, we only carry four. So, especially also with Julian Blackman, you know, he's on non-football or he's on the injury list right now. Can't really practice, can't really do anything. So he's away right now. You don't want to exhaust all your safety, the little safety options you have. So obviously you want to get another body in here, you know, spread the wealth around, get some more practice time for everybody. And who knows? I mean, he might be a practice squad player. He just might surprisingly make the roster. But I mean, Julian Blackman, Malik Hooker, George Odom, Kari Willis, those are some pretty good safeties. So I'm pretty sure that's the one position that is locked up. I don't see anyone getting any depth spots there. So that'll just be that. Now, we also signed Taylor Stallworth, a nose tackle previously from New Orleans. And again, he's a nose tackle. He's not a three technique for those who were getting a little excited about being behind, you know, DeForest Buckner. But I mean, the ceiling I see for him is a practice squad guy. I've seen his tape. I don't find him any more impressive than Grover Stewart, who was really good, or Sheldon Day. You know, with Taylor Stallworth, I think he gets bullied at the line of scrimmage, but he's kind of like a Sheldon Day, where his effort and relentlessness just, it's a big plus for him. But Sheldon Day doesn't get moved off the line of scrimmage like Stallworth does. So that's where I'm going to say he's probably a, you know, probably a practice squad guy. That's what I would say, you know, on that note for him. Now, you know, if there's any possibility, if the Colts make some signs to help out, you know, the cornerback room, I don't necessarily think that they need to, but if they were, like, three good options I see, hopefully they're not too pricey, but Logan Ryan, Tremaine Johnson, Maurice Claiborne, those are some solid options. Logan Ryan, I think he could immediately challenge for a starting spot, but he's the long shot for me. He's the long shot for me. And plus, he's recently came out and said he's looking for a move to safety. Tremaine Johnson, look, he's solid. He was solid with the Jets. Right now, he's a free agent. I think he can be a solid depth player. Now, the guy I see being more likely is Maurice Claiborne. You know, spent time in Kansas City, was drafted by Dallas. He was, you know, a pretty big player coming out of the draft, but unfortunately didn't reach his potential, so he's been bouncing around. But I think he'd be a solid piece. I think he would be the perfect replacement for Marvell Tell. I think he would be the perfect one. Speaking of the cornerback room, you know, just staying on this a little bit, Xavier Rhodes came out with media availability, and he spoke about how this could be a better scheme for him because instead of, you know, being man-to-man, focusing on the wide receiver, he can drop in zone and keep his eyes on the quarterback. That's a little bit better, especially when you consider his hip injury and he's still recovering. I'm not sure if he's 100%, but with that hip injury, a cornerback, that doesn't go together. That can be a big game changer, being in a zone scheme, which is why, you know, Chris Ballard came out and signed him for that. I'm really hoping for good things from Xavier Rhodes. I really am. I really am because I do hope that he can stay in the NFL a little bit longer, whether if it's with the Colts or not. Because he's just a good dude, man. He's just a good dude. For Indianapolis, I can see him having a real good year. Now, are we talking all pro? Man, it is really hard for a cornerback to be all pro from the age of 22 all the way to the age of 30. That is really hard. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I believe, was all pro, I think for 1 year, 1 or 2 years, and he hasn't been on the all pro list ever since. So it's just, you know, I think he can be a very good player. He's not going to give you that all pro, but can he give you something that's better? I mean, you definitely hope that he can be better than Pierre Desir was. Not even saying that Pierre Desir was bad, but you let him go to sign Xavier Rhodes. So obviously you got to, you know, you're taking one off the team. You better bring a guy in who's going to be better. That's how I'm thinking, guys. Xavier Rhodes has to be better than Pierre Desir. You have to, because it has to, you know, there's not a lot of goose eggs, or not goose eggs, but there's not a lot of hiccups on Chris Ballard's resume so far with the Colts. But if Xavier Rhodes came in and had a bad year, then that would be certainly a hiccup. Letting go a true veteran who was really serviceable for the Colts, did battle injuries, but he was serviceable when he was on the field for Xavier Rhodes. Now, I'm not trying to jinx anyone or anything, but, you know, got to knock on wood. Got to knock on wood for him because I'm really hoping for the best for Xavier Rhodes. Moving on here into a wide receiver group preview. I know I've said, you know, doing position previews. I didn't do one last episode, but I'm going to do the wide receivers in this episode. So, immediately, guys, I know I talked about T.Y. Hilton, discussed his injury last week. So getting into the wide receiver group, a preview. We already know the number one spot is locked. We've said that. This is probably going to be a quick preview, guys, because this is the wide receiver group. We know who's here. We know who brings what. But what could the depth chart really look like? What can it really look like? I've thought about, obviously, the obvious one is T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal, Marcus Johnson, and then maybe, if not, or maybe, a sixth wide receiver. That's the main one people tend to look at. But could we look at T.Y. Hilton, then Paris Campbell, then Michael Pittman? Or could we look at, hell, T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal, Michael Pittman, and then Paris Campbell? That's what's gonna be interesting. We have an idea of who's gonna make the roster, but how the depth chart is gonna come out is gonna be interesting. So getting into every player, T.Y. Hilton, we know what he brings. He's become a big-time red zone threat over the past couple of years. He's been the do-it-all man. He's the Iron Man of the Colts, probably the Iron Man of the whole entire NFL. We know what he brings to the table. Getting into Paris Campbell, we saw flashes, little bit of flashes last year. He battled some injuries. It was just one injury after another, unfortunately. He's coming into this season healthy. And I think definitely no preseason games is going to help him be on the field week one. He has, I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill, but he has a big game changer potential. Obviously, we talked about it, especially when he was drafted last year. Not last year. Yeah. 2 years ago, I want to say. He was even voted on to be a offensive rookie of the year going into his rookie year. I mean, you see the potential he has. Now, growing his route tree is going to be the bigger one. Last year, you saw a little bit of out routes. You saw some screens. You saw some underneath throws. That's what you saw from Paris Campbell. But in week, or not week, in year two, I want to see it grow. Even though, you know, we didn't see that much from him, I want to see it grow into great route running. I want to see him be more of a downfield threat. Because as T.Y. Hilton gets older, I want him to probably stay around in the middle of the field, you know, probably go 10, 15 yards. I want Paris Campbell down there 30 yards. That's what I want to see from him. Because look at his speed. I think he has solid hands. You have to find a way to make him your go player. You just got to give him the route. He's got to go. That element in this offense is super huge when you combine him with T.Y. Hilton. Now, getting into Michael Pittman. As a wide receiver in college, was there 4 years. He only had 5 drops his entire career. He didn't miss that many games either. So that shows you how reliable his hands are. He's big time. He's a great run blocker. I don't hear that be said about him too much, because it should be said often. It should be said. He is a solid run blocker. So is Zach Pascal. We'll get with him in a little bit. But Michael Pittman, obviously he's that big rangy receiver that Philip Rivers loves. But just getting into him as the player, I mean, you're looking at the elements of T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, who I just talked about. What about Michael Pittman? He can run the underneath route. He can run the go route. He can run the dig. He can run it all. He is just a solid route runner. And I know you guys have heard that term, technique over athleticism. He has the technique. He has it. The perfect catch form, the perfect routes, he has it. So picture this. You run T.Y. Hilton underneath. You run Paris Campbell a slant. You give Michael Pittman a go. Who am I going with? Especially if the coverage is cover two man. Who are you going with? You can go with either of them because you have no idea what you're doing with these 3 wide receivers. Unless you're probably Bill Belichick. But you can do whatever you want. You can throw to whoever you want because you are confident that they will catch the ball. Michael Pittman, he has the potential to be just like I said, Paris Campbell. This is why it's getting so exciting, because of the talent Chris Ballard has brought in. He's bringing in game changers. He's bringing them in fast and in a hurry. Paris Campbell, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr. 3 big-time game changers. One of them is proven, more than proven. One of them, we saw a little bit flashes. We know he can get better. One, he dominated college football. Coming in, you know this guy has potential. You know this guy just has hands. As a wide receiver, that's the number one thing you need is hands. He can go up and get it. It didn't work out with Devin Funchess last year, but guess what? We're bringing in a better receiver than Devin Funchess. That's big time. Getting into Zach Pascal. Y'all know I've talked about him. Y'all know I've praised about him. Y'all know I like him. I still love Zach Pascal. If he can make another jump that he did from 2018 to 2019, guys, I'm going to say it now. If there's no injuries with Paris Campbell, no injuries with T.Y., Michael Pittman, who is who we think he is, Zach Pascal makes that jump again, guys, the Colts will have the best wide receiver crew in the league. I don't care who is in Philadelphia. I don't care about the overrated Cowboys. I don't care about the Kansas City Chiefs and who they got. Even though I know they got the best quarterback in the world, this crew, if everything I said comes to fruition, this crew will be the best wide receiver crew in the league. I am telling you that right now because there are so many elements with every single player, just like a Zach Pascal. He's a guy who's not going to be flashy. He's not going to be doing all the big time stuff. He is just going to find a way to get open and get the ball. I mean, I just saw a, like I've said before, I saw his route running get better. That's why he was able to get open a lot more, get more looks. That's why, because he got better. He got better. And if he can do it again, guys, this crew, this room will be the best. I am telling you right now, getting into Marcus Johnson, he's been a little bit of a mystery. You know, in 2018, he had a big game against the New York Jets in MetLife Stadium. He had a big game, if y'all don't recall. And then last year, obviously with the injury history, he still came back and balled out. Everybody remembers the catches against the Buccaneers and everything. The guy is big time. He can be big time. Now, as a depth piece, because this is where we all project him to be. As a depth piece, I believe he is serviceable to come into the guy that's supposed to be doing the fifth spot. He is more than serviceable. He can be big time. Because if we unfortunately, it's part of football, guys, if we unfortunately have an injury, he's a guy you are confident in that can step into that number four, number three role. Number two, I wouldn't go that far, but number three, number four, I have him there, okay? He does have deep ball ability, okay? That's where we see him, really, because that's what he's shown. But then his game over the middle, it's pretty good. It is pretty good. We've seen him with Andrew Luck. We've seen him with Jacoby Brissett. Now, this year, we're going to see him with Phillip Rivers. Now, those are the five guys we're all sure are going to make the roster. Getting into these other guys, Darius Fountain, we know he had a big training camp last year. We know we have a lot of hope for him this year. I don't, if I'm being honest, guys, I think he possibly missed his window on making the roster. I'm sorry, guys. I think he has a solid shot at making the practice squad. That's where I see him. Because last year was it. Last year was the time to make the roster. You've added in Michael Pittman Jr. Zach Pascal made a big jump. Marcus Johnson is still here. You drafted Desmond Patman. And there's some spots in the wide receiver room up for grabs right now. The only thing we've seen from him, go up and get it. He showed some good stuff. He's going to have to show a lot more this year to get a job on this team. That's my thinking of it. Desmond Patman, I think the Colts can hang on to him. I think they can hang on to him because obviously he's a rookie. Obviously you like what he saw, especially playing in Washington State. Anthony Gordon, you know, under Mike Leach, that dynamic on fire offense. He had a lot of go. He was on a lot of go routes. He was a big time playmaker. But I think he's still raw in his route running. You know, being in that system, whether if you're a good or bad route runner, you just know you're going to get the ball and your offense is going to be on fire. I think his route running needs a lot of work. Okay? It needs a lot of work. Now, for Desmond Patman, is he going to outperform Darius Fountain? That's going to be like probably the biggest matchup competition there's going to be. Most intriguing, I'd say, because it's the matter of making the roster versus not making the roster, potentially just being a free agent. And then there's a guy I've always liked, DeMichael Harris. I spoke about it last week, and Frank Reich, we heard what Frank Reich had to say, especially when I asked him directly about DeMichael Harris. He did mention the practice squad. So that's an indicator of, you know, we think of him as a practice squad guy. He's going to be a guy who still needs a lot of work. He's still fresh and new to the wide receiver position. So getting him on the practice squad, keeping him a Colt, grooming him under T.Y. Hilton, under Paris Campbell, Michael Pittman Jr., grooming him under those guys, that's going to be pretty big. So those three guys right there, it's going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle. Now, I still think they carry six. But as we get closer and closer, I wouldn't be surprised, nor I'm starting to kind of lean a little bit to five. I am starting to lean that way. So there's your wide receiver preview, guys. The other guys, I just don't think are worth, I wouldn't say not worth, but talking about the guys who I expect things from. You know, I'm not expecting things from Ashton Doolin. They've already, you know, released a couple wide receivers. Not expecting a whole lot. But with this wide receiver group, guys, I'm excited for. I can't wait to see in, I cannot wait to see in the season. Now, another guy I can't wait to see in season, that's got to be DeForest Buckner. Okay, sat down, asked him about the goals and everything, and his goals, I mean, obviously for a guy his caliber, they're not out of this world. They're right on top. They are right there where they need to be. He wants to be first team all pro. Last year, he was second team. He wants to be a pro bowler. He mentioned that he was a pro bowler in 2018, but he was an alternate. No, he wants to be a selection. Then he wants to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, he also wants to go for the sack record. Now, breaking these goals down, let's start with the Super Bowl. Well, I'll save that for later. First team All-Pro, definitely doable. But he's got competition with Aaron Donald. Now, it's going to be about who is going to make the bigger impact, who is going to be the biggest player on their team. We don't expect big things from the Rams this year. I'm sorry, but we really don't. But the Colts, you look at the talent they've surrounded DeForest Buckner. Why can he not tear it up? Why can he not? How can he not? He's going to be a big player. I am definitely going to go for him and believe him in first team all pro because, guys, he is just strong. He is so quick. His hands, man, the handwork of a defensive lineman is so huge, guys. It is so huge because you can slap a lineman's hands away. You can literally just smack the guy out of your way. And you can get to the quarterback. I mean, we saw him get after Kyler Murray, who's the shiftiest, one of the shiftiest quarterbacks in this league. He sacked him twice in one game. DeForest Buckner, first team all pro, I'll buy into that. I'm definitely, if I could possibly vote, he's getting my vote. And if you're a first teamer, obviously you're going to be a pro bowler. That's just how it is. Now, with the sack record, 22 and a half, I believe, by Sean Taylor is the record. Our own Robert Mathis came, I believe, 3 sacks away from breaking that record. He had 19 and a half in 2013, I believe. As a defensive tackle, I don't know if you could, but hey, Aaron Donald have like 20? So what's to say DeForest Buckner can't get to 20 and possibly 22 and a half? Now, when you're facing Jacksonville in week one, I'm hoping he has 2 sacks because that offensive line is not that very good. They've had an opt-out from the right guard. Well, they just released their right guard too. So that's the guard that covers the 3-tech. So obviously you got to line him up there and get after Gardner Minshew. The sack record, that is big time, man. If DeForest Buckner can get that, obviously he's going to be your defensive player of the year. And guys, if you're getting 22 and a half sacks or even 20 sacks, your defense is one of the best in the league. You are making, by your impact alone, you're making your defense one of the best in the league. Now there's the element of, hey, you got DeForest Buckner and then you got Darius Leonard right behind him. Which one do you want? Which one are you going to choose? Because this is also a challenge that I'm actually going to put on Twitter. Make sure that you guys vote, okay? Who is going to have more sacks, DeForest Buckner or Darius Leonard? That is going to be the most. I can't wait to see your guys' votes for that one because you got one of the best defensive tackles in the league, best 3-tech defensive tackles. And then you got the best linebacker in the league. Well, I'll say behind Bobby Wagner because Bobby Wagner is a bad man. Darius Leonard is right behind him. There is no one bad. I don't care about DeMario Davis, Jalen Smith. No, they can suck butt. They're not better than Darius Leonard. They're just not. Who is going to get more sacks than those guys? I am excited to see not only your votes, but see that happen and decided in real life. So there are your goals from DeForest Buckner. Now getting into our last segment of our, you know, well, possibly not. I'm trying to come up with one on the fly, but one simple question that I was asked by one of my friends that I want to discuss with you guys. You know I came out before and said I see them possibly missing the playoffs or, you know, getting a first round exit. This is going to be different because I said that a while ago and some things have changed. Do the Colts have a legitimate shot at a Super Bowl? I think that can be said for other teams, but specifically the Colts, yes. I'm going to say yes, and here's why I'm going to say that. Because teams have gotten weaker, they've lost a little bit of depth, especially the Jaguars. We already know, hopefully we can take care of them twice this year, starting week one. Teams have lost some depth. The Kansas City Chiefs, they just lost 2 starters. They just lost them. Teams are getting a little bit weaker. It's not their fault. You know, this is going to be an unprecedented, very different year. Guys are going to be missed. There's going to be possibly a playoff game like Phillip Rivers discussed with the league. What happens if during the Super Bowl week someone tests positive? We don't know. Going into each week, you never know who's going to test positive. This is what's so different because this has a bigger impact than an injury. Because an injury, you can see it happen in the game and then you can hear right after the game, oh, he'll be out for this time, he'll be out for this time. But you're not expecting a COVID test. This is something new that we haven't had in our season. So let's say the Colts have a first round matchup. They're the number, let's say, 6 seed going up against the 3rd seed, which would be, let's say, Pittsburgh. Colts have no positive test, but the Steelers happen to have, let's say, TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. Those are the two biggest elements of their defense. You don't think that the Colts are going to have a bigger edge in that game? And then they end up winning 28-27. Missing out on those two guys, you know, just that possibility technically makes it a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl for the guys that make it into the playoffs. But specifically for the Colts, yes, they have it. The same thing I said about the Steelers can very well happen for the Colts. This is a legitimate year to try and win the Super Bowl. When you look at the talent on this roster, and I've looked at it over and over and over, I've gotten a little overhyped about a player, then I brought myself back down to earth. I, you know, kind of minimized the impact of a player, but then I brought myself back up to earth. So, this is a very big year that I am hoping can turn out good. We don't know what we're going to expect from Phillip Rivers. The linebacker room, I expect it to be the best in the NFL. The defensive line, that's where I'm most intrigued. The secondary, I'm starting to get a little bit optimistic about the secondary. I'm not going to lie. Still got to keep my expectations, you know, centered. Kenny Moore, feeling himself every day. He's the best nickel corner in football. I'm pretty excited about it, guys. I am, guys. Coming into this year, I really am. Obviously, not a lot of stuff coming out of training camp because close to the media. No practices going on right now. Walkthroughs, other practices going on. We're about to get into the ramp-up period. Man, it is coming fast and coming full swing, full circle for us, guys. Whoo, man. I cannot wait. I honestly cannot wait, guys. I can't. So, guys, not a too packed show today, but I truly hope that I filled your guys' as Colts needs, talking about some of the things around the Colts, you know, all that good stuff. We will be back next week, okay? We'll be back with another position preview and the other updates and developments from around the league. You know, the opt-out deadline is Thursday, 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. That is the deadline for players to opt out. Other than that, guys, I don't believe I have anything else for you. So, guys, again, please, please, please subscribe on YouTube. Leave a like on the video. Retweet, like this tweet I put out for the show. And, guys, don't forget to vote on the poll I'm about to put out for who's going to have the most sacks. Darius Leonard or DeForest Buckner. So, guys, I am your host, Michael Terrazas, again. Thank you for joining and listening to the Underdog Sports Podcast. Thank you guys again. Stay blessed. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Pray this on me. Pray this on me. I got them shackles off my feet, yeah, yeah. Can't put me back up in the streets, yeah, yeah. I couldn't move, but now I'm free, yeah.